I know I've said almost every Sunday, but it is so true. I don't know what is better, the music or your faces. There's just such joy and enthusiasm on your faces. Just gets expressed. So, I mean, it's a blessing. Blessing. And yeah, God's blessing you, but you bless us. And thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
That, God the glory.
Yeah, well, that was wonderful. And I'm glad you had a good song like that, because we got a lousy parable. And really, I mean, if you're honest, how many of you, this is your favorite parable Jesus ever told? Go ahead, show your love. This is your favorite, out of all, better than the Good Samaritan. Isn't this one better than the Good Samaritan? Better than the prodigal son? No. This, really? You're like, wow, Jesus having a bad day or what? And the messianic stress just kind of got down on him a bit. And he just, you know, really? This is what the kingdom of heaven is like? You know, oil reserves? Half of us get locked out. It just, a wise person is the one who takes care of herself. It just, got to stockpile all that oil up. I mean, what happens if we hear, I mean, let's make a mincemeat out of the Beatitudes. Remember the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount? Here you go. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Although, to get there, you're going to need large oil reserves, so store up for yourselves oil on earth so that you will have treasure in heaven. Or Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Worry about your oil. That's the main thing, whether you have enough or not. Or Matthew 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Unless, of course, you went out to get oil because you ran out, at which time the door is going to be shut, and you might as well just forget it. Now, the truth is, I kind of like the parable because it talks about being prepared, and I like being prepared. Some of you know me. I've got issues, all right? One of the issues is if I'm getting ready to make a trip, I check the gas gauge. I don't want to run out of gas. You know, if I'm driving, I want to keep an eye on the gas gauge. So when it gets low, I can go and I can get some more. I know I'm running a little bit. I'm in favor of a savings account. I think that's a good thing, no matter how much you have in it, which isn't very much, but it's something. It's something. I think it's a good thing to have that. I think life insurance can be helpful until your son finds out that you've got one, and then you come home from work every day and he's kind of like, oh, you're still alive. You're like, oh, okay, yes, I am. Or taking care of our physical and mental health so that we don't become a burden later on anyone else. Matthew is telling us about the last judgment through the parable that Jesus told to the disciples. And in Bible study, we were exploring where that took place and when that took place and how that was important to the understanding of this, because speculation is futile about when it occurs, but preparation is crucial. Preparation is crucial. A lot of times we equate wisdom with knowledge. Oh, the wise bridesmaids, they knew, because that's why they're wise, because they knew. But they didn't know when the bridegroom was coming. That's not what made them wise. It's not about knowing. It's about being prepared. The Christian who is prepared isn't protected against harm. Bad things happen to Christians. We all know. Bad things happen to Christians all the time. There's still tragedies that happen. We prepare for a hurricane. How many prepared when Irma came through? All right, you put up shutters, you got extra water, you did something to prepare. Did that mean then that the hurricane didn't come your way? No. You still get the hurricane, even if you're prepared. You still get the hurricane. You still get the wind. You still get the rain. The only thing that happens is you're prepared for what happens afterwards. All right, you've been able to protect your home, and now afterwards, and there's water, and there's, you know, if you have a generator, there's gas, or there's other types of supplies. It doesn't mean we get less. It just means we're prepared for what happens afterwards. And we look at this parable, and we hear this parable, and it's not shy. It's not ambiguous. It's harsh. There's going to come a time when the gate is shut. And if we're not prepared, no matter how much we prophesied in God's name, no matter how loudly we sang Amazing Grace, the voice on the other side is going to say, I never knew you. It's harsh. That's harsh. If we're going to believe in grace, though, we have to believe that there's going to be judgment as well. The thing is, we're not the judges. We're not the judges. See, that's where I stumble. I'm okay that there's judgment. I just have a problem that I don't get to be in charge of the judgment. Because I have a list. You know, most of us, if we're honest, we know we have a list. People who should be in and people who shouldn't be in. But that's not why Jesus said this. Our role is to be prepared. Because weddings, God bless us, weddings seldom, if ever, go as planned. Breaking the news to you now, Marlena. Plan as much as you want. I've been doing weddings for a long time. I have never done a wedding that went the way it was planned to go. It just doesn't, you know. Where was the wedding planner on this wedding? Hello? I mean, you would have thought somebody, you know, the bridegroom's running late, you know, get the oil, get ready, nothing. Both the wise and the foolish fell asleep. Both of them, their lamps went out. You couldn't tell which one was the wise one and which was the foolish one because of the way their dresses looked. They all had on probably, you know, nice dresses. Makeup was fine. Hair was fine. Can't tell by looking at them which one's wise, which one's foolish. All the bridesmaids were invited. Everybody come. Everybody's part of the ceremony. Hope you'll be a part of it. Hope you can come. You can't. All of that. And the only difference was that the foolish one wasn't prepared for that dark time of waiting. That's hard when you're waiting. And now they are shut out. We prepare. We prepare through Bible study, not just to learn history and not just to learn trivia, but so that the Scripture can sustain us for times of trouble and times of tragedies and times of waiting in darkness, wondering if it will ever end. We prepare with prayer, not to give God a list, but to simply spend time with God. We prepare with service, understanding that the good works are a way of sustaining our commitment to Jesus. We prepare with worship. You see, the parable doesn't tell us if the foolish ones had any oil at home. We don't know what the amounts were. We were talking about that in the Bible study. Maybe the foolish one had gallons of the stuff, and the wise ones, this was the very last that they had. It wasn't about all of that. It was that they had it with them. How much oil are we carrying with us? See, that's what's significant. It's not about how much oil you have. It's about how much oil you're carrying with you. Five wise, five foolish. The five foolish were the ones who didn't have any oil with them. They ran out of gas. They ran out of gas. It didn't matter how many gas stations they had passed by. They didn't have it when they needed it. And it's not going to do you any good if you got a gallon of oil at home and nothing in your lamp. It's hard, but it's true. And most of us, if we're honest, we know what it looks like when we run out of oil. We know what it's like. Somebody pulls out in front of you, cutting you off, and you just kind of transform into Godzilla. Am I the only one that does that? I don't know this person at all, but all of a sudden I've decided their patronage, their parentage. I have decided their future. I have made harsh judgments upon them, and I realize my gas gauge, even if it's showing full, my spiritual gauge might be just a little bit empty. If I haven't had a conversation, or if you haven't had a conversation with your spouse in 3 weeks that hasn't centered around doctor's visits or logistics, chances are the gas gauge is going to go down a little bit there too. If you're working 80 hours a week, chances are your relationships aren't what God intended them to be. You know what it's like. We have to be able to invest some of these things that are happening. If you eat junk food for 20 years, your body's going to let you know about it. There is some oil that we simply cannot borrow from somebody else. You can't borrow it. You know, you're a student. You're in school, all right? Somebody can share their homework, but they can't share the hours of study you did in order for you to help you pass the test. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You don't spend time with God when the time comes and you need peace of mind. Nobody else can give that to you, even if they want to. They can't give it to you. You have to get that for yourself. And in the class, I called out Bill Hambright. I said, it doesn't matter that Bill Hambright does 1,000 push-ups every day. You know, that's not going to help me. All right, I can't say, hey, Bill, why don't you give me some of your push-ups? Why don't you help me out? It doesn't work that way. It isn't going to happen. Most of you all have a better education or a lot smarter than I am, and I'm trying to figure stuff out. And you're like, you know, you can't give me all the brain power that you have. You know, you can try to help me, but that's as far as it gets to go. We take time to fill ourselves up spiritually because it comes a time when it is absolutely going to be needed. And I think that's the hardest thing about the parable. The time comes when we have to draw on the oil that we have at that moment. And there is no time to go to the store, and there is no time to run back home, and there is no time to except for now. Now is the time. This is your opportunity. And it's not going to matter how good our intentions were. We don't fill our lamps. And this is the other thing. We're not going to fill our lamps because we're afraid of being shut out. We fill our lamps out of joy because the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. How many of you ever prepared for the homecoming of a loved one? Someone that you love, a family member, a friend, is getting ready to come and visit. All right? And what do? You clean the house, or you start planning, oh, we could go to this restaurant, we're going to do this activity, oh, I can't wait, we're going to go do this. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Don't you do that? Somebody's getting ready to come that you're excited to see, and what happened? All that preparation isn't a burden as much as it is a joy. I can't wait. Oh, I'm going to have this meal. I'm going to make this food. We just can't wait for them to be here. We're so excited. We make sure that our calendars are clear. We tell the boss. We tell the client, hey, look, I'm not going to be available these days, these hours. My daughter's coming in. My son's going to talk. One of the things I tell Andreas every time I see him, we eventually do meet up. He tries to hide, but I'll track him down. He's too big to hide, and he'll say, "How was your day?" And I'll say, "What do I say? Better now that I see you. I'm joyful. I'm way more joyful than he is, but I'm very joyful. I'm very joyful. I'm very happy about the opportunity to be able to have that time and preparation and joyous opportunity. And that's what's going on here. You're happy. You're happy. That's why we prepare. That's why we want the oil in our lamp and the oil jar. We want to be prepared because we're happy to see Jesus. We're happy about this. Okay, it's not because, oh, I better be good or else God's going to get me. It's not like that. It's joyful because we're going to get to be reunited with one we love and miss. It's joyful because we want our lamps to shine so that Jesus recognizes it. And he says, oh my gosh, Carol, I was waiting to see you. This is so exciting. I'm so happy. Oh, Debbie, this is fantastic. Pam, thank you so much for coming to the wedding. All right, Iris, this is great. I'm so happy, Hiram, that you were able to come. Way to go, State. This is great. And it's a celebration. That's what a wedding is. It's a celebration about a union. And Jesus is coming. And He's excited about this opportunity for us to be joyously joined together. Not just us with Jesus, but everybody. We've got families blending together. That's what happens in a wedding. Families blending together. And everybody's coming together. And we're all going to be together. All you have to do is be prepared. And that's our chance to be able to be prepared because Jesus is coming. Remember the song we used to sing? We sang it a lot and we finally had to kind of like give it a rest. But remember we used to sing, soon and very soon, Jesus gonna see the King. Soon and very soon, we are gonna see the King. Come on, you happy about that? Soon and very soon, we are gonna see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're gonna see the King. Come on, sing it now with joy. Soon and very soon, speed it up. We are gonna see the King. Soon and very soon, we are gonna see the King. Soon and very soon, we are gonna see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One more time. Gonna see the King. Excited! Soon and very soon, we are gonna see the King. You can stand up.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Yeah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah and amen. But right now, we're going to sing the offertory hymn.